It's time for Central Iowa Today on News Talk 1230 KFJB AM and 93.9 FM.
Good afternoon, Central Iowa, and welcome back to another episode of Central Iowa Today. I'm your host, Zach Tomish, and today we're joined with Marshalltown's Fire Chief, Christopher Cross. How are you doing today?
What's up, man? How are you?
I am doing well. I appreciate you making a little time
it's
for
nice
us.
It's nice to be in the same room as the golden voice, Kyle Martin.
It's been a while since.
And Zach Tomish. It's not that I don't like coming here, and I love our one-on-one time, Zach, but I'm glad that Kyle's back.
We need our safe parent back in
He's
the room
awesome.
With us.
Yeah.
Keep us under control.
The steady hand at the control board.
Yeah. So, Chief Cross, I opened up my email this morning and had a wonderfully well-written, well-crafted...
Let's pump the brakes on that just a little bit.
...press release from the fire department. I don't know who does it over there, but...
It's the deputy chief.
We had a little issue going on out at the hospital this weekend. Can you just talk about it with our listeners?
Yeah. The 60,000-foot view of this story is Sunday evening, we were called... We were called for a reported gas leak at the hospital, and that there are no utilities in the hospital, no electric, no gas, no water. So we respond to the gas leak. Police had arrived there because they're the true first responders, apparently. That's a joke. That's a running joke between police and fire. We're the second responders. They're the first responders.
Well, 911 would say they're the first responders as well.
They're the boss. They tell everybody where to go, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, so police got there, and there were some people hanging around outside of the area of where the old ER, like ambulance garages, where there's some overhead doors in the ER parking lot. And police had kind of reconned where the door was, how somebody had gotten into the hospital, into the mechanical area there between the ER garage or the ambulance garage and the ER. There's boilers and chillers and pipes and a lot of like mechanical infrastructure that used to service the building. The people that were kind of outside and witnesses to this whole thing, told our fire people where to go. So we went in with air monitoring and on air and all the things, taking all the precautions that we're supposed to take. And they found two people in a, I can't even really describe it. It would be like a three-person submarine type shaped, 20 feet long with maybe about 3 feet tall, cylindrical type thing with an open top, like a hatch, but it was open, like it used to. Pipes used to connect to it for pumping air or something, and that had been disconnected and was off to the side. So it's just a vertical oriented open top porthole that people could fit down into.
Like the tubes in Mario.
Kind of, sort of. Yeah, okay. Absolutely, but not as big. So the captain who was investigating the situation quickly recognized that they had a confined space rescue. They were doing air monitoring, and everything was fine outside of the space where these two victims happened to be located. And so he declared the rescue, opened up the building to the best of his ability, brought in some equipment that is specially designed to do confined space rescues. One of the first things we do with air monitoring is we ventilate whatever space somebody is trapped in. And that is like an inline blower with like a big, air duct tubing that's expandable and flexible. We'll rig it from the outside to the inside and stuff it in the hole wherever the people are so that fresh air can be pumped unimpeded into the confined space so that if somebody has been, overcome by something or there's an oxygen deficient atmosphere, hence the reason probably why they were unconscious, we have the ability to ventilate that space and bring oxygen back into the equation and fresh air. And as soon as ventilation had begun, once the air exchanged a few times in the space, the people trapped inside the little tank, they had woken up and regained consciousness. So that's great. And that's precisely why we do those types of things at the very beginning of a confined space event like this. So then we get all the rest of our equipment assembled for confined space rescue. We have a supplied air breather, which means that we can send people into a building with an unlimited supply of compressed air like we would wear through our masks if we were had our SCBA backpacks on, like if we were in a fire. It extends our range inside the building indefinitely. And then we have some like special equipment that we can package people up into that have attachment points that we can rig rope rescue systems, anchor above the head and lift people vertically. And that's what we ended up doing is one person was able to get out kind of semi under their own power. We helped them out. And then the other victim that was deeper into the tank, from what I understand, we packaged that victim up in a some special equipment and then drug them a little bit horizontally and then out the top of the hole, gave them to EMS, and EMS did their thing. And from the best of my knowledge, when we were all there, all the patients were transported from, there's two patients transported from the scene alive, which is great. But I don't know what the, I haven't been advised of what the follow-up conditions are yet, or okay. their identities are confidential, obviously.
Okay.
So,
okay. Well, yeah. It was that's a wild kind of scene.
It's
there
a story
for
and a
Sunday
half.
Afternoon.
Yeah, it's well, it. I think it was there was. We were glad that we were able to get there quickly and do our thing. And if it wouldn't have been for like the fast decision making of the captain or the shift commander and the incident commander at the scene, and the well trained staff with our equipment, this could have turned out so much worse.
Yeah. Yeah, and timing is everything.
Absolutely.
And it's like comes to lack of oxygen that we talk about all the time in lifeguarding and things like that. So great that they were able to wake up and you guys are able to help them there. Yesterday afternoon, I have seen as well in my neck of the woods here over by Miller Middle School, mm-hmm. some fire trucks and some guys going in through the roof of a building and things like that. I haven't seen any flames or water on it. Are you guys doing some training over there? What's kind of going on?
As the president of the Zach Tomish Neighborhood Association,
we sent
you a memo as to, no, I'm just messing with you. Yeah. So, we've been training over in the Miller neighborhood, and thanks to the great partnership with the Marshalltown Community School District, Dr. Schutte, Eric Whedon, who's the safety and facilities guy, they have some residential properties that are involved in the construction project at Miller. Mm-hmm. And we asked the district whether or not we could come over and use those structures to do some training for company level training. Stretching of lines, practice searching houses. We have a theatrical smoke machine, so we can put some fake smoke in the building to obscure our vision. We've been doing some roof work, doing ventilation, cutting some things, and then cleaning up after ourselves and leaving the neighborhood hopefully better than when we received it. But yeah, that's a wonderful opportunity, and we've been in those neighborhoods for the last couple of weeks doing some really, really good training with the crews.
Yeah, you guys probably don't often have empty houses like that to just kind of go in and tear apart and do what you need to do because it's coming down.
Yeah, for sure. We have a training facility at the college where we can do burns in and crawl around in it. But once you know how it's laid out, you can only be so creative with a fixed structure that's been in your inventory for decades. But so these types of problems are fresh and they're unfamiliar for the most part for the situation that we're trying to set up for the guys. The company officers and the shift commanders are doing a great job of providing the training opportunity to the guys.
You're not doing any controlled burns in those buildings,
no.
right?
Yeah. No, okay. There's no fire going to be involved with that.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
just crawling around using tools and stuff.
Yeah. So when think back to when you started your career, mm-hmm. what was that kind of, you have to love practice to love the game, I've kind of always said. And so what was the training that you think back that you just really enjoyed doing as that firefighter?
Anything together as a company, if you could – it didn't really matter to me as a line firefighter. It really didn't matter to me what it was. As long as we could get together and solve a problem. Sometimes it was a rescue problem. Sometimes it was a fire problem. Sometimes it was an EMS problem. I just like solving problems, and I really enjoyed that at the company level because it really kind of drove the company together, and you kind of deepen your relationship with each other, and it's you get to trust each other and kind of understand and anticipate each other when you're working. so that you don't really need to communicate verbally. Everybody kind of knows what's going on. And that's what we have here at MFD. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, team building activities are always kind of my favorite too, looking back at that type of stuff. We've got just about a minute left here.
Sure.
Joined today with Marshalltown Fire Chief Christopher Cross. Real quick, we had a meeting at the end of March with county and city talking about EMS. One of the things that we heard from Carol Hibbs, supervisor, you know, they're going to be looking at how does that kind of look in other counties. Have you done any research kind of on your own? I know previously you have, but have you looked at anything here recently?
Everything that we looked at from the task force perspective, when we were trying to figure out a direction out of the forest to try to help solve this problem for people, is kind of like we did all that preliminarily before we talked about any kind of consultants. So, yeah, nothing's really changed in the landscape of the research. There's a lot of people that have done what we're trying to do, and there are a lot of people trying to do what we're trying to do. And so we're just kind of waiting to see what move the county makes next. We're excited to take the next step when it's appropriate.
All right. Well, Chief Cross, I appreciate you coming by.
Thank you.
We'll see you at the meeting tonight.
Looking forward to it, man. Thank you.